One other thought, totally different. Brother Mark has defined race, or actually the word, it doesn't like to be used. I mean, we look in Scripture in Acts chapter 17. But I, and then many others around here, within this world, within the U.S. government, if you are doing anything official, and I got the names here, the U.S. government recognizes 6 different, don't like the word, racial groups. The U.S., that's an official thing. And 2 ethnic groups. I'm telling you right now, if you do anything official, anything, any documentation, anything that you're writing with the U.S. government, there are 6, and I have them listed here. I can read them out if you want them. Come to me afterwards. There are 6 different racial groups the U.S. government recognizes, and 2 ethnic groups. That's different to what our brother you're saying, but that's what actually officially is the land's the view of things, the census, and so on.
And that really underlines what Mark was saying. That we've got to get on, our theology has to trump our sociology or our culture. Our theology, our Christology has to line up with our theology. Everything has to line up with what the Word of God says. If it doesn't, we cannot be told what to think by the government.
Yeah.
Right? Just because the government has 6 different races, from a Christian's point of view, from the perspective of my theology, where is my perspective? My perspective is right here in this book. And this is what, this is the real emphasis that we, so our theology and our Christology and our bibliology all has to line up. And it trumps, it really trumps our genealogy, and it trumps our sociology. It comes down to what does the Word of God say.
Amen.
And we've got to get, we have to get biblical.
Would we admit, let's be honest, folks, we are affected by the environment in which we live.
Amen.
There's a verse in Romans chapter 12 that tells us, not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Because in reality, our minds are affected by what goes on around us. And once our minds are affected, it affects everything else that follows.
While Brother Mark was speaking, I was reminded of Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. The second part, when it says, "For thou wast slain and hast redeemed unto God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Those aren't the exact same 4 words that you used, but I think they have the same definition.
Emphasis and the power of unity is seen in the Lord's Prayer. He tells us when he prays, and we're going to go over this again on Friday, and we're going to bring up that Revelation passage again on Friday. But his real intent is that men might know who I am. And are we willing to get before the Lord and to say, I haven't had this right? I haven't had the right attitude. Now, there's one more word that is a word that can go either way. And that word is discrimination. Right? So discrimination is a word that can be used positively, or it's a word that can be used negatively. To be discriminating is to be discerning. It's to be able to distinguish and to make a assessment and then decide after making that assessment. And so if I discern that something is not good for my health, it's okay to put that aside. But if I determine that I have no determination other than these factors that we talked about earlier, then it becomes a bad thing. There could be long historical realities that you've just sort of, you know, been socialized into thinking that that's the norm. And with the help of the Spirit of God, we want to ask ourselves, is that really the norm? What was the Lord's intent? What did he want for us when he prayed? This is unique. Let me just give you an outline of where we're going for the rest of the week. Tuesday, we're going to examine the extent of the fall and how the fall impacts every person, regardless of their national, ethnic, and cultural identity. On Wednesday, we're going to talk about how coming to faith in Jesus Christ, trusting him, believing in him. The Lord Jesus Christ said in this prayer, those that believe on me through your word, through their word, through the apostles' word, he says he places them in Christ. And we're going to find out that when we're in Christ, that trumps all of these other identities, but it doesn't remove them. And that's really important. You read in the Bible very often that there were men and women who were servants of God, who served the Lord, but you don't hear their identity of their national origin or something unique about them removed. Because God doesn't want to remove it or erase it or homogenize it and turn it into something different. He just wants to show us that, you know what? Even though you come from different histories, I can get you on the same page because you are all bowing and yielding to the Son of my love. You're bowing and yielding under his direction and under his authority in your life. So he doesn't want to erase it, but it trumps it. And then on Thursday, we want to look at how the Bible talks about this in very practical terms of different events and different situations where diversities and differences could have caused a problem, but because these individuals were submitted to the authority, to the Lordship of Christ, they were able to overcome national, ethnic, economic distinctions that separated people. And then Friday, we're going to look at the prayer in detail in John 17. And then we're going to look at Revelation 5 again to just help us appreciate that the goal and the end is going to happen the way God intended for it to happen. The way the Lord desired for it to happen.
Going back to the thought of discrimination again, in John chapter 4, with the woman at the well, and I know, I just looked, Steve's going to touch that on, since he's not here, I'm going to steal his thunder. I just want to make one point with that. To Mark's point, you don't give up what you are, or where you're from. You don't give up your culture. Being in Christ, you don't give up who you are. Example of that is the Lord Jesus Christ, born a Jew, born under the law, we're told. And here in John chapter 4, the woman says, how is it that you, being a Jew? Now, he hadn't said anything. All he said was, give me a drink. He hasn't brought religion into it at all. And she says, well, I can tell you're a Jew. That's your culture. I can see it. And so, how is it that you, being a Jew? But to the point of discrimination, I find it interesting that when she brings religion into it, when she can't get out of where he's going with this, she says in verse 19, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers, now she's bringing in this argument, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews. Another translation says, you people. We have that term today. People have used that term, you people. Well, that's nothing new. She used it. You Jews. And so there was a discrimination already built up in her mind, right? And so what we want to do this week, with the Lord's help, with this small group that we have, We want to tear down those walls of discrimination. We want us to see things from a biblical point of view, and help us not to be one of those that says you people, but to say us people, right? In Christ people. So that's where we're headed.